I am unashamed. What about you?
So, Al, yesterday I ran back into the guy who showed up last year. He had driven nonstop from San Francisco, California, nonstop. He pulled up in front of my gate. He pulled up in front of my gate last year, and I saw him standing there. When I come up there, I said, I said, I wonder what that dude wants. So I pull up there.
Were you armed?
Was I armed? I said, I don't even go take a leak in the yard. I don't even go take a leak in the yard unless I'm armed. So anyway, I thought, well, I gave him the old Matt Dillon frisking. That means there's a gun on you. Turn around. Put your hands out. Let me look. What's that coming out of your pocket there? That's my keys. I said, pull them out. Let me see what's on the other end of that strap.
And
he was complying explicitly. He said, what's next? And I said, turn around. So I told him, I said, I believe you're good to go. I said, so what's on your mind? He said, I watch y'all's podcast and the Blaze TV. He said, I've just come down here. I'm just looking for some kind of hope. I said, get behind the rig, follow me down there. So we did that, and we had a few hours. I sat down with him, and he was an atheist. So we talked it over. I poured into Jesus, went down on the river and baptized him, and he went on his way. Well, yesterday I pulled up there, and it was a replay of last year. I looked down there, but I didn't recognize the dude. You know, I mean, I've talked
to him. So the frisking started again?
The frisking started
again. You did the whole frisking?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he's used to it now. Well, look.
This time, his attire, what he was wearing, gave him away. Suspenders, you know, bow tie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bow tie, suspenders, and a Bible in his left hand. I said,
Well, that's a better sign.
No, I looked up and I said, I hate to say this, because somebody that might be the way to try to get through my gate is get all dialed up. But anyway, I said, dude, whoever you are one spiffed up dude. I said, you're spiffy. You know what I mean? He said, you know who I am? I said, not. What's your name? He said, I was the one that was sitting here last year. Nathan, remember Nathan? I said, I remember you. He said, it's me, I'm back.
But did you really remember him?
Yeah, I remembered him. I remembered him. Yeah. And I said, I remember you. I said, get behind the rig and follow me on down there. So we go down there. So we talk, had a good little meal there. And I finally found out what he does. Now, this will be no news for you boys, but to me, I'm like, you do what? So I said, what do you do for a living, Nathan? And he's college educated, whatever.
And he's from San Francisco. He's
from San Francisco.
This is a crazy story.
Yeah, he said he was originally from Montana. Rough story of his childhood, but he told me about that.
And he just got it. Did he drive over here or did he fly? You don't know.
He drove.
Oh.
And he said, I'm on my way to South Carolina to the golf deal over a golf tournament. And I said, what do you do for a living, Nathan? He said, Phil, do you know, you see them golfers? I said, I don't watch golf. I said, my boys do. And he said, they all have a little book, the professionals do. There's a little book.
That's right.
That shows the contour, the elevations, down to 1/1,000,000th of an inch on a mound, you know, the contours.
Greens. Oh, yeah.
The green. He said, I'm the one who made that little book. He said, I'm the one that produces that book. I said, so you know all the big time golfers? He said, oh yeah, yeah. I said, do they know you? He said, oh yeah, they know
who. He's a green surveyor. You know you see these people surveying, he's out there on a green.
That's correct.
Yeah.
He's got a survey and all the surveying equipment. So when he hands them that, this golf world, I never even knew this. But these guys, Al, are looking at the contours and the rise and fall of the landscape, which is pretty critical to what your golf ball is going to do.
That's why they look so good.
Well, no wonder they're so. Yeah, I was going to say, no wonder they're so good. Jason, you and I hadn't had a book. We need to get with Nathan.
They give you a book, you know, where we play, and it's basically just
That's what
got
he
some
said.
Numbers, but now the professionals, because I've seen those.
Yeah,
books
you're not you're off limits from getting this one. This
oh yeah, they have there's little arrows and contours and so that's why they're always checking that book, because when they walk up the green, you notice when they're you hadn't noticed, but if you watch golf, they're turning the pages saying yeah,
that's right.
And so they see it in a different kind of a 3D dimensional way.
So it struck me. I told him, I said, Nathan, I said, I didn't know that you, I said, are you the only one that does this? He said, oh yeah, the only one in the world. He said, so when I said, so you are an integral a part of the golf world. He said, oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. But if you saw him walking down the road, I asked him yesterday how old he was. He's about 30 years old. He said 30 or 31, and he's not married, but he's. I said, you're making some pretty good bread on that little scheme you got going
on. I'd love to know what the book costs.
I didn't pry into his affairs, but I said, oh, Nathan is doing pretty good.
I had to ask. I had to say.
No, he said, Jace, this is like the book of Eli, but this is the book of Nathan.
Yeah.
It could be.
He said,
thing.
Mr. Field, he said, I watch all of what y'all say, and he said, it's a blast to watch. He said, your favorite line to me was when you said everybody's going into a 6 foot hole deep, you know, a 6 foot deep hole before it's all over. I said, I say 6 foot. I said, now they're cutting, digging about 3.5.
It's about 4.
Trying to save money. But he told me, he said, when I heard that line, he laughed, you know. But we had a little meal. He met Miss Kay.
What'd y'all eat?
Chow mein.
Oh yeah, because you invited me to that, but I had acquired.
I partook.
Oh, did
I
you?
I partook. It was really good.
Well, here's why I wasn't there. Which my daughter, I gave a report in the previous podcast, but she hadn't been doing real good. But her and Missy are flying back to where she had the surgery, and they're going to try to check her out today. Her stomach was upset. There was nothing in there. It hadn't been in anything for days other than water and medicine, but she just has really been struggling. So we appreciate your prayers. I mean, we don't think it's anything major, but it's just makes for a miserable existence. But old Jay, your son-in-law, Al, he took Si and one of our neighbors, and they got ready for that fishing trip for, you know, about 3 days. They built a tent on the boat for Si.
He put a canopy on the boat, Dad, so that, because Si gets too hot out there, you know, it affects his breathing. So Jay built him, like, he and his construction buddy built like a canopy that will go over his boat so Si won't get hot when the crappie goes.
Canopy for the aged.
Yeah, that's
canopy
what it is.
For the aged.
I mean, at this point, he's just trying to keep Si alive, which we all are. And he's being quite remarkable. And now that Si has survived the coronavirus, he thinks he's indestructible, which technically
he's got a spring in his step.
But it makes him more funny, which is hard to do, than he even used to be. Because now he's like, hey, boys, I'm bulletproof. Well, nobody shot at you, Si. He's like, well, hey, you know what I mean.
So, I will have to admit, Si came close to death, and it didn't seem to bother him at all.
Nah.
What do you say?
And he was ready to go either way. So we were playing dominoes the other night, and we filmed a little. If you go to the Duck Commander YouTube channel, they put some fresh content on there. So we did a little thing about dominoes. We were playing the other night and kind of talked about the history of dominoes and the Robertson family. And so we were telling some tales. But he saw it, and Jace is right. He's all like, you can't hurt him. And so then he's talking about their podcast. He said, you know, and tell Zach, he better start getting me some mailbox money or this old boy is going to get laryngitis. And I was like, what are you talking about? All your stuff here while we're doing the thing. This ain't the place for that.
He's going to like me.
Funny.
He's going to like me because we're going to do our pilot show for our little metal detecting show, which we got to talk about these names at some point. I don't know how you compiled those. The list of Unashamed Nation came up with about 100 names, and some of them made me laugh out loud. Use them, but they just, you know, the first one was Frog Commander. I'm like, what does that got to do with metal detecting?
So what about Dirt Dynasty? That was yeah, one that jumped out.
That was funny. That was a lot of funny ones, but I kind of put two or three together. But anyway, I said that to say that Si is going to make a cameo appearance on our pilot show. So I got him some money. So I was working on that deal yesterday. So he's going to love to see me coming. I'm like,
so y'all have you're going to have a series of episodes on treasure hunting.
Well, we got one for sure.
Yeah.
So it may just go off the cliff and crash.
Yeah.
But
be prepared for anything, Jason.
But because of the outcry of the people, I'm telling you, the people who listen to this.
Are you worried about your reputation?
No. We won the crowd, and this unashamed crowd has pushed and gotten one episode at least, and then we'll do it. So it's their fault. I'm going to blame them. I was like, hey, they're the ones that wanted it. So I'll give you further details. But what I was going to tell you is that, you know, they go on the fishing trip and fish, you know, half a day. And they only caught 7 crappie, a.k.a. white perch. I would say the greatest.
It's not quite time yet because Stone's pretty good about locating, so it ain't quite time.
The greatest tasting freshwater fish, in my opinion. And so since Jay had recognized the struggle we had been going through, and I've been in hotels and hospitals for days, he gave me those 7 crappie. But I felt so bad because I saw him getting ready for, you know, the trip. They're excited. And it's over an hour
drive. Did the crappie go down smooth?
Oh, my goodness. Fail. I mean, I hadn't eaten fish, and I have a condition where there's – certain amount of time that goes by, if I haven't eaten fish, I start getting really irritable. And so, because we were just raised on it. That's what we do. Well, here's what I did.
But you offered something. Yeah, yeah.
Tell that's right. Because I felt bad. I mean, really, I did. When he said we caught 7, but I'm going to give them to you. Well, then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, that's terrible. I mean, they spent all the time, money, et cetera. I said, well, my other neighbor has given me 2 dozen freshly laid eggs, which in our neighborhood, we went from, you know, in the Duck Dynasty days of the HOA, they wouldn't let us have chickens. I mean, they literally made me eat my chickens because I couldn't have them running in the yard. And so now, since the organic craze, and they were embarrassed over all that, now that's like a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's actually greater than money. It's a bartering thing, and my next-door neighbor, he gave me a couple dozen, so I gave him a dozen of the fresh egg, which he was excited.
I mean, raising chickens has come to the suburbs.
Oh, yeah. Those eggs are so much better than what you could buy in a store.
Well, there's still hope for the country, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jace, we were talking about that. It's funny that you brought that episode up, because when I was in Michigan, there was a guy came up and he said, you know, we just started rewatching the shows and my kids are watching it now, because he didn't have, his kids weren't old enough when the show was actually going, which is kind of interesting to me because it's like there's a whole new generation of people that'll watch the show because it's still out there. He said, well, we just watched the episode about the HOA. I said, oh, yeah, that was a good one. He said, you know, the part that got me the most was when Miss Kay, when she and Phil decided they were leaving the boycotting the meeting or whatever. I can't remember the whole setup. They were in somebody's garage there in the neighborhood. She said she went back and got her food that she brought and took it with her. She said, I'm not leaving this for these people. And took it with her.
I don't even remember that happening. I don't even remember
that. I didn't
that.
Either.
I don't remember those episodes. Because people all the time, they're like, hey, what happened? You know, they're acting like they just watched it on a rerun. I'm like, not real sure. But what
for
is crazy?
Hey, Jace. Yeah. Let's take a quick break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated.
so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
What's crazy is in real life, you know, once the social media response came out, well, all these people who were in the no chicken camp, they were embarrassed. I mean, they're my friends and neighbors, and I don't want to rub it in, but I'm like, you doggone right you ought to be embarrassed. I mean, this is insane because they're the same people that love everything organic, and then they come up with all these rules, and now we can't have a chicken lay an egg and eat it? I mean, that's just stupid.
It is.
It made me angry. I mean, they were like, we ought to do a show about it. And I'm like, come on. I said, because you're not going to have to tell these people to act a certain way. I was like, they don't want chickens. I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And they have rules and fines, which I didn't even know I was living in a neighborhood that I didn't even know that was going on.
Well, and ours is a lot more lax. Let me tell you something. When Lisa and I first bought a condo down here, I mean, I did not realize, like, I'm not old enough to be in the condo living mindset, because these people have come here from all over the country, from all these other states, and to basically make rules and then enforce them. And
that's
under 24-hour surveillance. Yeah. I mean, I'm walking out to the...
Do you have a yard at the condo?
Oh, yeah.
You need to get some chickens.
Yeah, but I sold the condo. I bought me a house. I had to get out of there. Yeah. They drove me out.
Y'all's background clashes with the modern day.
That's right.
That's world, exactly, because right. You know, the old standard of conduct and all that. The only rules we have, according to old Jay, said, here's the way we operated. The only rule we have is that there are no rules. That's the rule.
And that is based on the word of God.
Look, yeah.
Al tells me, because I don't read the, you know, what people write in, but that's probably the number one problem that religious people have and things we say. They're like, we can't get the concept from the Bible. I'm like, read it. That we're not under a rule-keeping system.
Take a guy like that guy that came down we were referring to, Nathan. The Apostle Paul told a young preacher, he's preparing him like we are preparing people to go out, to go forth. What you heard from me, this is in talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:13, and you can go back to the book of Acts, you say, what you heard from me, you remember Saul of Tarsus and what a wicked man and a killer he was, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Just below there, he said, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust what you heard me say, entrust that to reliable men. And so you get the golf pro, the one that the book that runs with the golf pro, you say, he has a opportunity within that structure. If we make sure that he keeps as a pattern the teaching that we see in the New Testament, many witnesses entrust to reliable men. I just talked to one last night who will also be qualified to teach others, endure hardship as a soldier of Christ Jesus. Now he was in the military, Nathan was, but you say these military guys that are coming out, now their commanding officer is Jesus. They have a job to do. So you see what they preach. They started with Jesus, him becoming flesh, dying on a cross, being buried, raised from the dead. We're in the book of Acts. The power of that message has spread from the time it was introduced 2021 years ago all the way up to here. I'm just giving everybody the big picture. Train others so they can train others, and we just go forth and we are holding to the pattern. Yeah. All this arguing about rules and regulations, I mean, these Bible writers say, no rules, no rules.
Well, I think the misunderstanding comes in. It's like 2 Timothy 2. He then makes an illustration when he gets down there and he says, He says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, because he had just said endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. But then he makes another illustration in verse 5. He says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules.
Yep.
And so people say, well, see, there it is. He made an analogy that you have to stay within the rules, and they're missing the point. And I'll give you another verse. I did a lesson on this one time when you were reading that. It popped into my head. You know, Galatians, the whole book, is a what's the strongest word I can say?
Repudiation.
Repudiation of a group of people who tried to add circumcision to the gospel of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The right. Grace of God through Jesus on a cross and the resurrection. They said, you need that. You got to have Jesus, and you got to be circumcised, or just tried to get one little rule. And so he spent 6 chapters just demolishing that idea. And so he gets to the end, and I think this is clever, because he says in chapter 6 the same kind of phraseology about those who are persecuted for the cross. Verse 8, the one who sows to please let's see where I'm looking at. Verse 12 at the second part, it says, the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want to be circumcised that they may boast about it in your flesh. Well, here we go. We got people running a race as a soldier for Jesus. Instead of pointing people to Jesus, they're like, look at me, I've been circumcised, which is kind of a gross boast.
It's downright weird.
Yeah, it's gotten weird here. And so then he gets to verse 14, and look, if you read the whole book of Galatians, over and over he said, it's for freedom you've been saved. We're no longer under the supervision of the law. I mean, just flat out says it in verse chapter 3, I think in verse 25. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. And so then he gets to 6:14. Here's where I was trying to get to. And this is comical, but serious. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation, which is what we experience in Jesus. But here's the comical part. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. He's like, you want a rule? He spent 6 chapters going through that. I'm going to give you one. Only boast in Jesus Christ. There you go. So for all of you people who are having trouble not being under rules, there's your one rule. Boast only in Jesus. Follow that rule and everything else would be fine.
Well said.
Well, and he kind of, you know, that's what Paul said in Romans, we've talked about before in 7 and 8. The idea was that basically the purpose of the law itself, 10 commandments, but all of it for the entire history of the Jewish nation, was to show the world, all the world, Jews and Gentiles, that the law cannot be kept flawlessly by anyone. Mm-hmm. That was its purpose. Its purpose was to point us to Jesus, even back when it was before we even knew about it.
And the
Jesus
only one
was.
Who ever kept it was the one who died to get us out from under it.
To fulfill And once he fulfilled it, that's why the cross is so powerful. So, I mean,
It's
hard to grasp it. It is.
Yeah, because look, we're following the rules. We are following the rules, but not because they're rules or we have to. It's like out of that response to Jesus, well, you're doing right things because you buried the old sinful self that was controlled by the rules that you're not good enough to keep them all. You break the rule. You're separated from God. Then you get rid of that guy, which is what Romans 6 is about. But it's just
in Romans 13, loving your neighbor is a fulfillment of the rules because you're not stealing from him or lying to him.
Yeah. But it's like marriage. Which to me, that's why you got to get back to we're married to Jesus and you function like that. I mean, to go back to the crappie I fixed, I fried six. I went to mustard and flour because it had been a while. Black pepper and mustard.
Good call.
But I took one of them, the biggest one, and I blackened that one, both sides, because Missy, she likes them blackened.
Did you kick up the seasoning a little bit on it?
Oh, yeah. But that's the way I fixed it for her, and I know how she likes it. So, and she's been, hadn't eaten a whole lot in a few days because of dealing with Mia. She came by, and I just had the plate. I mean, she was emptying a throw-up bucket, so I thought, well, she might not have much of an appetite. And when she saw it, look, she just, she grabbed the plate and just went, it was just gone. And she sat there for like 5 seconds. And
like a dog that hadn't been fed in 3 days.
I mean, I looked up and it was all gone. And she just looked up at the ceiling and she went, oh. So I'm like, boy, I really made her day. Well, then about an hour later, she come in there and she said, I'm going somewhere with this story, but she said, all right, don't forget, you know, we have that phone call tomorrow, which is today, by the way, with the doctor. And I was like, you never tell me about that. I mean, she said, oh yeah. I mean, I can't believe you can't keep up with what's going on. But I'm sitting there thinking, now look, I forget stuff, but I knew she hadn't told me. But I also realized she's been sleep deprived. She's been dealing with our doctor. So I just went with, you know, because I, in my mind, to go to the rules system, I thought she's wrong here, but it's not worth it. You know, I love her. She's awesome. So I'm just not going to. I said, yeah, okay.
You just took one for the team. Let's take a quick break. Well, one thing's for sure, boys. Spring has sprung, has it not? I mean, things are starting to green up. Time to get outside more, except for stupid pine pollen.
I thought it was raining yesterday, misty rain. Or I said yesterday morning, last night when I was letting my dog out, and I looked, and it was pollen. It was raining pollen.
Oh, yeah. Everything is yellow. It's a yellow coating of pollen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, in our area. So since people are going to be outside, one of our sponsors is a company called Bespoke Post, and they send a box every month if you sign up with these guys, and it's called the Box of Awesome. So they got some new stuff for spring lined up, so they want you to know about it. So whether you're taming the wilderness or taking home, you know, something new around your house, these guys got really cool stuff. I love getting my box every month and finding out what they have in there. So you want to check these guys out if you're into that sort of thing. It's free to sign up. You can skip a month or you can cancel anytime you want to. You go to boxofawesome.com. You take a quiz, which basically tells what kind of stuff you like, so they'll know what to send you. The box is $45, but it has over $70 worth of gear. So, you know, you get a value every time you get it. You get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. And enter the code PHIL at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code PHIL, for 20% off your first box.
I took it for the team, but here's what's funny. About an hour later, she come in there, and she got kind of teared up. She said, I got to think about that. I never told you that. I was like, nope, but it's all right, you know. But in my mind, what I'm saying is if you went by a rule system in marriage where, like, you make a mistake, how long do you think this thing is going to last?
As our culture has proven, not long.
No. So, and my point is the relationship and the circumstances around is of greater importance. Even though I knew I was right in that moment, it wasn't worth it.
That's right.
And I never thought it would dawn on her. It's just like that with Jesus. You know, we make mistakes, and he's always taking it. Always, every time, offering us grace and forget. He's never, like, bashing us. And so then we're honest, and that's why we confess. We're not confessing because it's a rule. That's what just irks me about it. You know, people are like, well, I went to church, I confessed, and now I'm saved.
Here's what you did. You lived out what you just described, Joste. Here's what you lived out in Scripture. Philippians 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider your wife, in this case, better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. And it goes on to describe how he gave himself for us. So that's what you live that passage out in the moment. Even though you were right, you look to her interest above your own. That's empathy. That's what Jesus did with us. Mm-hmm. That's why he died for us.
And he does it every day. And to be completely honest, it took me about 25 years. I've been married 30, dated 3, to start doing stuff like that. Because in the first, young and dumb, you're wrong, I'm right, it ends now, right here. I'm going to make this point. You're wrong. And that's why that's just so stupid. So, I got that in right yesterday, but the first 25 years was bumpy.
To all the ones of you in marriage, don't forget the famous verse by the Apostle Paul. People who marry will face many troubles in this life. I want to spare you this.
For the long-time listeners, no matter what happens in marriage, when the conversation comes up.
We're coming back to that verse.
Phil has a disclaimer on marriage.
Written.
Look, we should put that. We should make an appeal to put that on the bottom of a marriage certificate. When people get married and they have to sign the paper.
Billboards on the side of the road. People who marry will face many troubles in this life, but I want to spare you this. Jesus number one. Yeah, rock
Paul's,
on.
Paul said, be like me. So, it's funny, Jason, you were talking about that from Galatians. Another thing that's difficult in teaching the Bible and getting it to people is because, different cultures and different languages. I mean, it becomes interesting to go and talk. So I was in the Dominican Republic years ago, and I was teaching the book of Galatians. And so I had this group of people, probably about 100 people, and some of them were all the Bible guys down there and preachers. So you had that crew kind of sitting over here. And then you had a bunch of young people, like teenagers, big crew of them. And I was excited, so I'm teaching the book, going through the whole thing, making the points we just talked about. And Ben Atkins, who speaks fluent Spanish, is translating for me because none of them, most of them don't speak English. So we get to the end, we're doing a Q&A, and the preachers kind of have preacher type questions. And so one of the kids asked the question, and of course, Ben's having to tell me what they're saying. What is circumcision? What is that?
Oh boy.
Of course, they don't circumcise in their culture.
Yeah.
So, it hit me. I thought, we just take it for granted that you understand what that process is, but these kids had no idea. No, the preachers knew because they had studied it. So I looked at Ben and I was like, Ben, you better take this one because, there's no sense in translating. You just go. So here Ben goes, pa 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 pa, kind of like you were describing yesterday. He's going, the kids are leaning in. He has their full attention because they're thinking, what in the world? And so I didn't know what he was saying, but I knew when he got to the money line of what it actually is, because all the young men went, ooh, and all the women giggled. All the little girls started giggling. So I was like, well, now they know what circumcision. But you think about it, they're listening to me teach that whole context. They have no idea what circumcision was. So that's the difficulty sometimes of teaching the Bible.
That one act of the flesh, and there's a lot of argument about that to this day.
But you are making me nervous. I thought you were fixing to attempt to define it.
No.
But it's when you take, below.
I'm gonna leave it to the imagination.
Below the belly button of a male, and you take some off.
Yep.
So that's where I'll leave it. However, what the hypocrisy of this whole letter to the Galatians, what you think about is all these people who are rule oriented in their faith. Well, what about the women? Because they're coming up with a system where you have the gospel and circumcision.
Yeah.
Well, what about the women? You just nullified half of our church.
It's a great point.
That's why I think when he got to Galatians 3 there and he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, which is what we've been hammering on, because
there's no male nor female.
Yeah, and he said there's no male nor female, because they were, number one, they were putting a rule that they shouldn't. Number two, you've pretty well offended all the women, because one, we got to have this conversation. They don't want to hear about this. It's almost so stupid that you can't help but giggle to think that your salvation is dependent on what happens with the use of metallic instruments south of the border on a male.
Yep.
I mean, what?
Well, that let's take another break. Yeah, well, that's the whole point, though, Jess. That was another problem with the whole ancient Jewish culture, is women meant very little in the system. And I believe that's why Jesus, in particular, I mean, he broke a lot of rules, talking about rules and taboos, because of women in his circle. You know, he had a little circle of women around him the whole time.
There's pockets of that going on today. I mean, some that's people still view women that way. I mean, it's a
right,
and you see,
well, and people don't understand, because they'll call us a patriarchal, you know, system, and because of the Bible, and it's not even true. I mean, they're just taking for granted how we feel about women, and particularly our wives. But it just kind of, you get labeled with it. But it's a misunderstanding of understanding the whole breadth of the Bible and the history of it.
Well,
have been hugely improved because of the gospel.
Well, I think it comes from, you know, you read Ephesians 5, women submit to your husbands. Well, the Bible doesn't like women. Well, I mean, when you read the gospels and how Jesus treated women, you can, whatever you thought Ephesians was making you mad, you can rule that out. Yep. I mean, because you're That's not right. going to see any greater acts of, here's a human, God in the flesh, taking up for women in extreme conditions, which was awesome. So they don't understand. It's the misunderstanding is not about women. It's about submission and what that means. I mean, because the two verses right. before, it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I mean, they don't understand what surrendering and true submission means. They hear the word submission, they're thinking submission like we're in some kind of fight, and you're tapping the, yep. you know, tapping the mat, saying, "Oh, you know." That's why you always got to remember that only Jesus, an introduction to Jesus and an understanding of Jesus, changes the heart. That's what's going to lead to your decision making process in all areas of life, even understanding how a marriage works. And look, I was just as guilty as anybody else.
You've talked about this before, Jace, but when you read the Bible, you know, they put the headings in there, but the headings weren't in the original letters.
No, that's right.
And they put a heading there, wives and husbands, in that Ephesians 5, and it starts in verse 22. But if you read the whole chapter, verse 21 is when Paul shifts his thoughts. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he takes out the idea that somehow somebody's more valuable or powerful than the other. It has nothing to do with that. That's a completely wrong context of looking at the situation. What he says is, men, you need to be spiritual leaders in your family. I can't tell you how many emails that I've gotten from our audience, from women, who said, thank you guys so much. My husband, because of you guys and because of this podcast, is now attempting to spiritually lead our family. And when I get notes like that, I mean, it makes me feel great, because that's the whole purpose here. It's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people be better. You know?
Yeah, I think what changed my opinion on it is, because, you know, you have something in your head, as a man, on how this is going to work. But marriage is like, I mean, I did the premarital counseling, and you know, I read a book or two. But boy, once you get in it, you're like, no, I should have paid more attention, because it's a lot tougher. I spent a lot of time in the Word and just trying to de-stereotype a lot of what people teach on different subjects. But I remember, Al, you might have been there too. I remember hearing a class somewhere at church where the title of it was, "Should my wife be submissive to your husband?" That's what got my attention. I was like, wait a minute now. Is my wife to be submissive to your husband? But it was a fascinating, and talk about some of the things we're talking about here, where there's certain men in our world who thinks that all women should be submissive to him.
Yeah, that's a bad move.
Oh, it's horrible. It's just anti-God and it's anti-scripture, but it's a truth that's happening. And look, not even in the Christian world, but, you know, in the secular world, this is a problem. And so I don't know. It made me look at it differently, even though I knew, you know, the truth here. I just thought you got to be careful of stereotypes, especially when it comes to pride and ego and that's you right. know, have the courage to first surrender to Jesus and then see how he shapes my life towards people.
Yeah, I want to see the person that thinks they're going to make my wife in particular submissive to them. I want to see how that plays out, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's some, her mom was a miller, and you know, there ain't no, there was, she, it took her a few years to figure it out, you know, with she and I, but she sure ain't going to be submissive to no other man.
Well, that's why when you did that lesson on power couples, and we did a podcast on that a while back, and it was well received from what you told me. Yeah. And I made the illustration that when I looked up power couples on the internet, you know, it's all these worldly couples. And by the way, since the airing of that, which has probably been less than a couple weeks, one in the top five, I can't remember their names, Jennifer Lopez and who was that guy?
A-Rod.
Yeah, A-Rod.
A-Rod.
They busted up. Well, so much for that power couple. I mean, literally 2 weeks later, they're not even together, and they got them in the top 10 of power couples. What kind of power are we talking about?
Hang on, let's take a break.
Older godly women are really a wonderful thing to watch. Like y'all's mother, she's an older godly woman, and she works with younger women who have gone through what will I say, hell on earth, mistreatment, abused, whatever, but the story she tells when she's telling me about different stages there are in their life, I salute these older women who take the time and the patience and have the wherewithal to reach out to those women, because it is horrific out there. It's tough
yeah,
tough,
you know,
world.
There's we have a ministry at our church, and Mom's a part of it too. It's called, I think it's called Heartfelt Ministry, where it's basically taking the Titus approach that Paul told Titus, that look, older women need to train the younger women. I mean, they need to spend time with them. They need to model their life. And he said the same thing about men too, and Peter did the same, but that's the idea, Dad, is that the problem in our culture is no one is teaching younger people how to live and how to have success in marriage and how to have a family and how to raise your kids. And so it's just being left to whatever devices or things that are out there. And is it any wonder why we're falling apart as a culture?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say
they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, be pure, be busy at home, to be kind, be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Then the young men, they're to be taught to be self-controlled and everything, set them an example by doing what is good, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech. This is putting in this younger generation that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. I mean, so it works on both sides.
Well,
older men, reaching out to the younger men, said, "You young bucks, sit down here a minute. You know, y'all mistreating these girls."
But it's
a tough thing, Al.
But everything that you just read was beautiful. But some people would hear that to be subject to their husbands. They're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa!" And then there's a husband saying, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Did you read that?"
Yeah.
You know. And so what I wanted to say, to make, because you're if you're wondering, you know, where why have this conversation? I mean, we've been going through the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God is poured out and made available in Acts 2 to the Jews. And in Acts 10, and in essence, everyone, but in Acts 10, he affirms that it is for everyone, you know, for the Gentiles. And all these verses that we're reading today, that Holy Spirit being available in the lives of human beings is the common thread of what brings us together, and it makes our relationship and our power couple flourish. And just for instance, to prove that, you know, in Ephesians, in his prayer, Paul in chapter 3 and 16, he said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And you say, well, why are you reading this? Because this is two chapters before he gets to Ephesians 5 talking about husbands and wives. Well, once you mm-hmm. look at it in that light, you know, if you just turn over to Ephesians 5 and see, well, I submit to your husband. Well, wait a minute now. We have God's awesome Holy Spirit. And when you read the fruits of the Spirit, you go to Galatians, which is what we just got through talking about. They wanted to add circumcision. But look in Galatians 5:22, he said the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All the great qualities of a marriage. It came to the Holy Spirit. That's why when we're going back into Acts, you're like, well, what are the ramifications for that? This was a relationship maker in releasing right. the Holy Spirit, which is why I brought up the power couple. Because the power of these couples and relationships in our life is coming from God's Holy Spirit, which is the most powerful presence in I was going to say the world, but it's bigger than that.
In the cosmos.
Yeah. In the cosmos. And not only that, it becomes an eternal relationship because the same Spirit that was poured out living in us will also resurrect us. That's why, you know, I tell people, don't misunderstand what he said when he said there'll be no, you know, the Pharisees who were trying to trap Jesus with a rule-oriented system, you know, came up with this scenario. What if a person is married seven times? Ooh, that'll get him.
Yeah. And who's he going to be married to in heaven?
Yeah, I mean, and what are they going to look like? You know, how old are they? It's all these questions that you hear because those come from rule-oriented people. You know, what are the rules on how that's going to work? And Jesus said, well, you're ignorant. That's what he said. And you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. And so he says there'll won't be any marriage in heaven. Well, but the rule-oriented people hear that and they're like, oh, we're not going to be married in heaven. Well, he just said, you don't understand the power of God and this marriage that we participate. It's just not the physical idea of marriage that we, you know, understand. But I'm not going to, because I can't comprehend it, I know one thing, I'm not going to try to make some kind of rule system Q&A so that people can wrap their head around it.
Yeah.
I know one thing, she'll be my wife because we have a forever, you know, relationship here. And we won't worry about the physical because in the end, he said, that's temporary. What's unseen is right. eternal. I mean,
no need to procreate.
It's actually greater. It's greater than what you think, not less.
Which is the reason why I believe that Paul couched that Ephesians 5 with Jesus and the church being the bride of Christ, because we understand submission. I had a guy one time, they came in to talk to me, and he said right off the bat, he said, well, we can fix this real quick if you just make her submit to me. That was his first line.
Yeah.
And I said, well, first of all, let's break down that statement. Make her submit to you. I said, you realize you don't make anybody submit. If you do, they really haven't submitted. Right. I mean, that's like saying, make somebody submit to God. I said, now that's called an oxymoron. And in this case, you're the moron. of the scenario here, because you're missing the whole point. And so then we went back and talked about how the Philippians 2 passage, this is about looking out for one another. You, if when you both submit to Christ, that's why in that lesson you were talking about, Jace, I went to Ecclesiastes 9, which Solomon talked about, two are better than one. But then he said a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And I made the illustration that when you put God, and that was about friends, not really about, you know, husband and wife, but your wife is your sister in Christ. Would you mistreat your sister in Christ? I mean, she's that as much as she is your wife, and the same with a husband being your brother in Christ. So Christians should have a huge advantage over the world if you really understand what submission truly is. And well, you don't have to make anybody do anything.
Irate fits of rage with cursing and anger and bitterness, you say, within marriages, by the time you apply and let the Spirit work in your life over a period of years, you'll look back out and you can't even remember those things. Right. They're so far back in the rearview mirror. You just That's grow exactly out of right. it, basically. You see did. What I'm saying? So would you ever get Which a curse, throw a big cursing spell, irate, jumping and stomping? I said, no. It's been so many years, I don't even remember. So
That's right. It's that illustration. It's the illustration we talked about, the triangle. The more you move towards God, the less you forget.
Yeah, all your selfish power play went out the window. I mean, because you read Ephesians 5 where it says, you know, wives, submit to your husband, period. But then all that goes out the window when it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Uh-oh. Yeah.
And gave himself for her.
Uh-oh. Whatever you thought that was, you were mistaken.
That's right.
I mean, you're talking about gave his life in a gruesome, horrible way for our, and he was innocent.
Yeah.
I mean, he had, is why I told that little bitty story. But you know what first crossed my mind when she was being adamant about it. She was like, you don't remember I told you about this phone call? I mean, she hasn't had any sleep. She's frustrated. She's breaking me over the coals. And I'm like, I mean, in my mind, I was like, oh, you're so wrong. But then you realize, no.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. I got to go find a cross and get on it.
All right, we're out of time. We'll get back to Acts 12 next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.